Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7.
If you will, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and that will be the main portion of our study today. About 6 or 7 weeks ago, I had what I like to refer to as a wake-up call, I guess. And in a way, it was a literal one, because I was sound asleep, and about 2:30 in the morning, my eyes popped open, and all of a sudden, I had in my mind, I did something today on the computer, and it may have compromised my identity. And I began thinking about what all would happen if that happened, if that was what I did. And I thought, well, there's nothing you can do about it. Go back to sleep. Worry about it tomorrow. But I tried to go back to sleep. Sleep wouldn't come. I just kept on. All of these things kept going through my mind. What if I did? What if I did? What's going to come? What if somebody steals my identity and steals all of the things that I might have in a bank account, or messes up my credit? What if I did something that caused that to happen? Finally, I said, well, this is useless. So I got up. Thought, I've got to go read. I got up and went into the living room, got my Bible, and I thought, well, the only thing I can read that's going to help, that I think would help, would be Matthew chapter 6. Obviously, where Jesus said, in beginning with verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. As I began to read these words, I contemplated these as well as the ones above them, and it wasn't long until I was back asleep again. But I learned some things about myself, and that's why I say I had a wake-up call. I learned some things about myself that night that I really didn't think were true about myself until I began doing some reflection and some self-inspection. And those are things that I would like to share with you this morning as we look at this passage. First of all, I would like for us to notice that this is a command that Jesus gave to us. Do not worry about your life. It's a command that is given. But oftentimes it's hard for us to obey that command. We just can't make ourselves shut down. We can't make our minds shut down and stop being concerned about the things of this world. So it's a command. But one of the first things that I would like for us to notice is that this command is not given concerning our concern or worry about a loved one and their spiritual condition. If we look at the context that is here, Jesus is talking about the provision for our earthly body, our earthly life. But he's not talking about not being concerned about the spiritual well-being of a loved one. Maybe a mother, father, son or daughter, brother or sister, aunt or uncle, or just a brother in Christ that we know has strayed from the truth and we're concerned about them. He's not talking about our not being worried or concerned about those. Paul carried this concern with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 28, he pointed this out as he talked about all of the suffering and the many hardships that he had been through throughout his life. As he comes to the end of verse 28, or verse 28 totally, he says, "Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." So Paul had great concern for all the churches, concern for their spiritual well-being. And I don't believe that Paul was sinning against God, that he was sinning or going contrary to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 because of his great concern for those that he loved and their spiritual well-being. Jesus also showed much of this same concern in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. As he talked about his concern for the house of Israel and where they were going and what they were doing. Matthew 23 and verse 37. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And I think that's a key for us to deal with the concern that we have about our loved ones. Jesus had this great concern for the house of Israel, for Jerusalem, but he realized that the choice was theirs. He said, "I wanted to do it for you. I wanted to gather you together, but you were not willing." And as we think about our concern about a loved one, we must do what we can to help them come back. And then we must realize it is out of our hands. It is their choice. They will only come back if they are willing. We can pray for them. And I think that many times this is a good thing for us to do. We can pray that something might happen that would cause them to repent. But we can't pray for the forgiveness of those sins that they refuse to repent of. 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 points out that there is sin which is not unto death, and there is a sin which is unto death. And John says, "I do not say that you shall pray for that sin which is unto death." So we can't pray necessarily for the forgiveness of those sins of that person before God if they're not willing to repent. But we can pray for them that something would happen to turn them back to God before it is too late. And we can also pray for our own strength to deal with this situation as it goes, as we deal with it throughout our life, as it goes over time, that we will be able to handle the stress of knowing that our loved one is not in a right relationship with God. But as I pointed out, that's not what Matthew chapter 6 is dealing with here. Matthew chapter 6 is dealing with my worry or concern about earthly things, worldly things that are going to take care of me in this world. And I find that this really goes back to verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6 here. Notice in verse 25, he says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry." Therefore connects it with the things that have gone on before. And this topic actually starts back in verse 19. And it includes everything from verse 19 on, even those in verses 22 and 23, which seem somewhat out of place with this context. But I think they should be taken within the context. We're not going to look at those today. But all of that is part of what Jesus says in verse 25 when he says, "Do not worry." Verse 19 beginning, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." I'd like for us to note, first of all, as we go back to verse 19, that he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." I think often as I have read the old King James, which says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth," I have taken that passage not as a command, but rather as advice, good advice that Jesus was giving to his disciples on that occasion. But the way the wording is in the Greek and the way the wording is in the New King James translation, which I think is the way it should be, lets us understand that this is a command that Jesus is giving. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Something I had to contemplate. What's he talking about here? Am I sinning if I have a savings account? So I went further. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves." I tried to think about what this idea of laying up for yourselves had reference to. And obviously, I think it's going to have the meaning that we would first think that it would have. But I wanted to look at a couple of other passages which dealt with the same phrasing of that. And I found 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 to be one of those passages. You may remember this from Kids Sing as being the passage about contribution. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." Paul's admonition to them here was to lay something aside, to store it up, so that there would be no collections when he came. But this had reference to storing up or laying aside so that they could help somebody else. It's not exactly what Jesus was talking about here in Matthew chapter 6. However, it does let us know what he was talking about when he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." He's talking about laying them aside, storing them up for use sometime in the future. And then I went to Luke chapter 12, and I found there the parable of the rich fool who tore down his barns that he might build bigger barns. And I found that phrasing also used there. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So I found here an example of where this rich man was laying up treasure for himself, but not being rich toward God. And I think that gave me again the idea that I was understanding correctly Jesus' teaching when he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves." Understood that correctly. But I still had this question. Does this mean that I cannot put anything aside for retirement, for a day when my health may be taken away from me and I need something there to help provide for my needs? Now, I think the answer to that question comes in understanding the next phrase, treasures on earth. Treasures on earth. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." What do we mean when we talk about treasures? Obviously, the first thing we think about probably is something of great value, something that maybe is rare and unique that not everybody would have possession of or not everybody would have access to. And I think that that's one of the things that he has reference to when he refers to treasures on earth. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, Jesus talked about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And though his application here was a spiritual one, though what he was trying to get them to understand was the importance of the kingdom of heaven in my life, I think we can learn something also about that word treasure in the passages that are written here. In verse 44, he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So treasures can sometimes refer to something of great value. It's of such great value that a person would go and sell everything else that they had in order to purchase that thing. Usually I find this type of treasure is one that a person never wants to get rid of. They expect to be able to have that thing with them for the rest of their lives. Might think of it, and there are many different things that this could be. It's different for different people. If you're a baseball card collector, it might be that Mickey Mantle baseball card that's in mint condition, that there are only very, very few of. And you think, "I would love to be able to have this and to be able to say, I'm only one of 10 or 15 people." I don't know how many of those cards there are, but just for example, say I'm only one of 10 or 15 people in this world who possess this card. It might be a piece of jewelry. It might be a car. It might be a house or land or a boat. It's something, whatever it is, that I would think, I'm willing to sell everything that I have. I'm willing to put everything, all the energy and time of my life into in order to possess this thing. And that's the treasure that Jesus is talking about here, in one of the forms of talking about a treasure. And as I said, most of the time when someone has that thing, they expect to have it for the rest of their lives. Why would you go out and sell everything you have to purchase something only to turn around and sell it again? You purchase it because you want to possess it for the rest of your life. Another way that we might look at a treasure is perhaps found in verse 44 The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I don't know what that treasure was, but it may have been a treasure box that someone had hidden, and it had a lot of things in it that this person felt like, if I can just get hold of this thing, I'm going to be set for the rest of my life. I'm not going to have to worry about money anymore, because everything that I will ever need can be supplied by what is in this box. So another way of looking at treasure is to think of it as things that we amass, things that we save up, expecting that those things are going to provide for me for the rest of my life. Not going to have to worry about anything anymore. And we can see a good example of this in Matthew chapter 13, in verses 44 through 46. There again is the passage that we read earlier, which deals with that rich fool who tore down his barns and built others. Luke 12:19-21. In that passage, remember again, he said, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have prepared? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This man's attitude was, I've been blessed with all of these things, and instead of using them for further service to God, I'm going to put them aside and store them up so that from this point on, for many years to come, I can live a life of ease. Don't have to worry about work anymore. Don't have to worry about service to God anymore. I can live a life of ease, not worrying about anything that I will need in this world. That had become a treasure to him because of this attitude that he had. We can see another way that this becomes a treasure when we look in Mark chapter 10. In Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 30, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30, and Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31, we read the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And you remember this story, how he came to Jesus wanting to know what he must do that he could inherit eternal life. The reason I chose the passage in Mark is because in verse 24, Mark adds a little extra thing there that the other writers do not have in their accounts. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother.' He answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' They were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are impossible.'" I think the key to understanding what Jesus was trying to get across to this rich young ruler was in that one word, trust. He that trusts in his riches will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. And I think that's what Jesus had reference to when he talked about in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. One of the things that he was talking about is do not lay up for yourselves these treasures so that you put your trust in them and you think this is what's going to provide for me for the rest of my life. I have need of nothing else. I don't have to worry about anything else. When we put our trust in riches, we're laying up to ourselves treasures on earth. And when we have that attitude, we find that it's just the opposite of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Why is that? Jesus said, if you lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, you've got to be concerned about moth and rust and thieves. You see, the things that you lay up for yourselves here on earth are not trustworthy. And because they're not trustworthy, we can't help but have worry about them because that's where our trust is. Jesus said then in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If my trust is in the things that I possess and those things that I have laid by in store for future time, that's where my heart's going to be. Because I know if anything happens to those things, then I feel like I don't have anything else to fall back on. It's all gone. What am I going to do? How am I going to live? If that's where my trust is in those things. If there's an earthly treasure so valuable you would do anything to get it, you would sell anything to get it, or if there's a nest egg you are putting your trust in to see you through the hard times of the future, then those are treasures to you, and that is where your heart is. Jesus then says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. And I think, again, that first word there is very important. No one can serve two masters. And a lot of times, whether we want to admit it or not, we think that we can. We think that we can put our trust in both and still be serving God, but putting our trust in these material things as well. Jesus says you can't do it. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hold to the one and hate the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon there, another translation has it as riches. You cannot serve God and riches. Either God is most important and we put our trust in him, or riches are more important and we put our trust in them. If riches is the answer to this question, then worry is unavoidable. As we pointed out before, he talks about moth and rust. And moth and rust does not necessarily mean something that I put up that is made of iron or material like clothing. But he uses that to represent also any kind of calamity that may come. If my trust is in this house and this land that I've got, a tornado could come, an earthquake could come, a flood could come and wipe this thing out. It's susceptible to the elements of the earth. But there's also stealing that is there. I couldn't help but think of Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 11, where Solomon said, when goods increase, they increase that eat them or that consume them. And the more we have, the more there are that are out there who are trying to get those things that we possess. And so maybe we've got this savings account. Maybe we've got all of these stocks and bonds and whatever other things we may have bought, thinking, this is going to take care of me in the future. In today's world, more than any other, I think we can realize that those are very susceptible to theft. We hear it all the time about identity theft and these people who are out there taking those things, and we don't even know about it until it's too late. Is that where we put our trust? If God is the answer to this question, then Jesus says, why do you worry? If God is where I put my trust, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? God feeds the birds and clothes the flowers. Will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 32, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Don't you think He's going to provide them for you? And then in verse 32 also, He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't put your trust in the treasures that you have laid up, thinking that they're going to be the thing that will see you through any kind of hardship that might come in the future, because they're susceptible to all the things that the earth will do to earthly things, to destruction and to theft, and they're not trustworthy. Am I laying up for myself treasures on earth and not in heaven? Let's ask a couple of questions here. Is there anything I have which would cause me to be devastated if I lost it? Is there anything I have that would cause me to be devastated if I lost it? My whole life's work has just been taken away, and all my life's work has been wasted. Is that the attitude you would have? Can you think of anything that you have? I'm just going to use a house, because I think that's something that we all have, that we all think we're going to have for the rest of our lives. If a tornado came through and took it away, I'm going on toward the end of my life, and I put all of the years of work and toil and sweat into making this house what I wanted it to be, and all of a sudden it's taken away. Is my attitude going to be, all of my life's work is gone? My life's been wasted because now it's gone. If that's the case, then I'm laying up for myself treasures on earth and not in heaven. Treasures that can be taken away from me in a moment's notice, in the blink of an eye. And I'm going to have to be concerned about worry throughout my life, because my trust or my heart's desire is in that one thing that I would not want taken away from me. Another question. If my life savings and all that I have were suddenly stolen, or some calamity took it away from me so that all I have is my daily food and the clothes on my body, would I feel like my life was over? Would I want to follow Job's wife's advice and just curse God and die? Because I feel like everything's gone. What am I going to do? Life has no meaning to me anymore because everything's gone. And now I don't have the health and the physical ability to work and get it all back. Is that the attitude that we would have if something like that happened? Or would I say, as Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would I grasp the teaching of Jesus that life is more than food and the body more than clothing? Would I continue to live life to its fullest, knowing that God will provide my daily food and the clothing that I need to keep me warm and protected from the elements? You know which answer means you are serving God and putting your trust in God. And you know which means you are serving riches or putting your trust in riches. Are you worried or anxious about losing the things you possess? If so, I hope that today you would make up your mind that starting right now, you're going to start putting the kingdom of God and His righteousness first in your life, so that you can do away with the worry and the anxiety that comes because your trust is now in God and not in the material things which you possess. That night, as I looked at myself, I realized that there were some changes I had to make in my life, because I feel like I was putting my trust in material things rather than God. If you examine yourself and you find that you're doing the same thing, I hope that you can make that change, that we all can make that change to putting our trust and our hope in God rather than these things that we possess on this earth. The first thing you got to do if you're not a Christian is to become a Christian. If you're not a child of God, if you're not a follower of Christ, these promises cannot mean anything to you, because you're putting your faith and your trust in earthly things, the treasures on earth. Those are the things that are most important to you. And I hope that you would be willing today to become a Christian, to become a follower of Christ, so that you don't have to worry about the things of this earth, because you're storing up for yourselves or laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, treasures that will not be taken away from you, that cannot be taken away from you, because the moth and the rust and the thieves are not going to be there to take it away. It's eternal. A true treasure that you would truly want to possess. If you've not been faithful to Christ, we offer you the opportunity this morning as well to come, to renew your faith, to be restored to a faithful relationship with God, so that again your faith and your trust, your hope can be put in God and the treasures that you're laying up in heaven rather than treasures on this earth. If we can assist you in any way this morning, please come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.